Thank you, Rosalind. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 4. And, you know, as I was thinking about the sermon I want to preach on here tonight in John chapter 4, I've often thought of where did it come along in Christianity where pastors or missionaries or evangelists put titles on sermons? A lot of times I always struggle with what to title a sermon. And a lot of times I don't come up with a title until I'm done building the sermon and get through the sermon. Then I look back on the sermon and then try to determine a title. So, you know, tonight I kind of, if I was to title the sermon tonight and that, I would simply call it, Don't Major on the Minors. And Don't Major on the Minors. And it's a lesson given to us by the Lord Jesus himself. You know, I don't know about you, but I think one of my all-time favorite chapters, if you were to pick a favorite chapter in the Bible, I don't know about you, but John chapter 3 would have to be one of them that'd be near the top of the list. And in John 3 on the story of Nicodemus and salvation, and John 3:16, it's kind of a pinnacle, it's kind of a launching pad here in the Gospel of John. And we do know in John chapter 3 is the last testimony of John the Baptist. But what is important, I think, is as the ministry, the public ministry of the Lord Jesus begins to unfold, is what happens in chapter 4. We know a lot about John chapter 3, but John chapter 4 is an interesting dialogue. And if you think about it, we see here in this chapter that Jesus departs into Galilee, and he encounters a Samaritan woman. And that we're going to see some verses here that talks a lot about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And it brings me back to the message this morning on the Holy Spirit, our alongsider. And then, you know, the relationship that Jesus had here with the Samaritans. Just to give you a little bit of background on Jesus and the Samaritans. And here we know that Jesus returned to Galilee. And when he came back to Galilee, he returned through Samaria. Instead of really the more common route, if he was going back, would be up through the Jordan Valley, and as he went back. But Samaria here was Herod's jurisdiction, and it was Herod that had just imprisoned John the Baptist. So, but Jesus was only passing through for a short time, and his conversation he encountered here with a Samaritan woman was really an incidental passing. You know, you never know who you're going to meet in life. And here he met this Samaritan woman. It's really a beautiful, it's a tremendous story that's left for here in the Bible that we can learn a lot from. But when you think about the Samaritan, you say, where did these Samaritans come from? I'm glad you asked, because they came from the Assyrian captivity 700 years before. And if you remember when Israel went into captivity, there was the northern tribe of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah. And so what was left behind out of the Assyrian captivity gave us what is known as the Samaritans. And they were really planted there and that part of the land by the captivity in the northern kingdom. So the Samaritans here were expecting Jesus, really, if you think about it, they were expecting to make Samaria, not Jerusalem, the seat of government. But Jerusalem became the seat of government, and Jesus here was not being eyed by the rulers of his own nation, but here these Samaritans were oftentimes despised or looked down upon, but they received the Lord Jesus gladly. And we're going to see that here by this Samaritan woman and that. Now, one thing that was interesting about this is that Jacob's well was still there, and when you go to Jacob's well was 100 feet deep, about 9 feet in diameter, and it was one of the few places where an exact spot connected the story here, and it was about the sixth hour of the day, which would put it right at about noon. And so this visit here of Jesus really it laid the groundwork for a hearty reception of the glorious gospel that was given a few years. Let me give you a connection to this chapter. Go to Acts chapter 8. Hold your place now. We're going to read these verses, but if you go to Acts chapter 8, and it really kind of connects the dots in the Bible, and when you get to Acts 8 and you get down to verse 4, it says, and this is what, remember when they launched the first missionaries? It said, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. and preach Christ unto them. So this would be the Samaritans now. And then in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So Samaria became a really important city. From Acts chapter 8, as the first missionary journey was launched, and that became an important city. But here we know that Samaria is really another name for what we know in the Bible as the northern kingdom of Israel, the northern 10 tribes. They were the ones that refused to acknowledge Rehoboam and the son of Solomon as their king. So Samaria extended all the way from Bethel to Dan and the Mediterranean over to Syria and to Ammon. And so the important cities we know in the Bible were Shechem and Samaria, Sychar, Shiloh, Bethel, and those areas there. So let's pick up the reading in John chapter 4 and verse 1. It said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and he baptized more disciples than John. This would be John the Baptist. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Then he left Judea, and he departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And then he cometh to a city which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So there's a lot of important Bible history here. And when he gets there in verse 6, Jacob's well was there. Remember I said, now this well was an important place. It was about 100 feet deep. It had great fresh water there. It's about 9 feet in diameter around, whatever. And the Bible says here, Jesus, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well, and was about the sixth hour of the day, which would put it about noon. And then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And for his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered, he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that, and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But, now notice now, talking about some things here in relation to the Holy Spirit. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. You know, this is really interesting because Jesus now is going right to the heart of the matter. And look what he does. He's getting this woman to really confess that she's a sinner and she needs Christ as her Savior. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands. Says here, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, and when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What a great verse to keep in mind when we talk about this morning, even the God, the Holy Spirit, and the importance there. God is a spirit, and if you're going to worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. She didn't even know who she was talking to. And Jesus said to her, saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wouldn't you give a $100 bill to be able to see the look on her face? Wouldn't you love to say that, you know, here she is, she knows, she's heard about Christ, she's heard about the Messiah coming, and here she is at noon in the heat of the day, Jacob's well, coming to get water, it's hot out, and she now is face to face with the Son of God. I would have loved to seen the expression on her face. This man just told her, no, go call your husband. No, you've had five husbands. And the man that you're with now is not your husband. So when you think about it here, and upon this, then his disciples marveled, said, and then he talked with them, and then he talked with the woman. In verse 27, and yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Now notice this, then the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the man, unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, I'll tell you what is interesting here, things began to change in this woman's life. She now came face to face with the Savior and now has a relationship with him that she did not have before. It says in verse 30, then they went out of the city and they came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And then Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are all white already to harvest. And I find that interesting, how many people that we run into in life that are sitting at a well to draw water. You and I have an opportunity to run into them, and they came seeking something, and they do not yet have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. He said, lift up your heads to the disciples. Look on the fields. They're already white to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Because of this relationship now that she has with the Lord Jesus Christ, she goes and tells her friends, her neighbors, her people there around her that she knows, come and see a man that told me all, that changed my life. When you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it changes your life completely. It says in verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, stayed 2 days. And then many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, he said this, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days, then he departed thence, went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Fascinating story when you think about this, and I guess what come to my mind in the relationship, you know, if you think about soul winning experiences, I wish I could share with you today, maybe those of you that are at the funeral today, after church today, and everybody had left, I sit down in the library with Mark and Pam, and Pam began to share with me people that her mother had run into along the journey of life, that she was able to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began to think about this right here and how important that is. And then I began to think about how God has used women in the Bible, so many women in the Bible, for the preaching and the propagating of the gospel and the giving out of the gospel. And matter of fact, the doors to Europe, to get the gospel into Europe, was led by Lydia in the Bible. And that opened the doors. And so I would say here, it's really fascinating to me to see how Jesus, in his relationship here with this Samaritan woman, he focused on the major things and didn't worry about the minor things. By that, let me explain. Go back to verse 29. When it says in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things, ever I did, is not this the Christ? And when you think about it here, that one way to influence our culture, as Jesus illustrated here in John 4, is distinguishing between the things that are important, the things that are major, the things that are the most important, and don't minor on the minor things, the things that are less important. All things are secondary compared to a person's relationship with God. And so when you think about it here, there's a lot of truths to believe, but none more important than to embrace in your life in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that came to earth to die for our sins. And by trusting Him, you can have forgiveness of sin. You say, well, how do you approach a total stranger? Well, I don't know how you do it. I can tell you how I've done it over the years. And a formula that has always worked for me, no matter where I go and who I encounter and talk to. And I use a real simple acronym or whatever. It's just called FORM, F-O-R-M, F-O-R-M, FORM, F-O-R-M. By that meaning, I can walk up to a total stranger, and if you can make eye contact, and if you can somehow engage the conversation, most people, even a total stranger, will talk to you about their family. So to me, F always stands for family. So really, is all you're trying to do is you're trying to get the conversation opened up about something that has to do with family and however you want to go about that. And if there's not an open door there to engage in that conversation about family, then I move on to the... Now, it's interesting, Jesus here in his encounter with the woman here at the well, what did he start out with talking about? Family. He started out talking about, go call your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. No, you don't, but you've had five husbands. And the man you're now with is not your husband. So what did Jesus do? In a very subtle way, he began to engage a total stranger talking about family. You can talk to a total stranger, and most of the time they'll talk to you about family. If a door doesn't open up for you about family and engage in a conversation, many times you can bypass family and you can go right to the zero. The O, to me, is occupation. And most people will talk to you about what they do for a living. Where do you work at? What do you do? Or where do you retire from? It's interesting, this morning, Dana's husband here, Kevin and Dana, were here this morning, and Dana's father was here, and he was sitting right here on the second row. So before church, I was talking to him, and I knew that he was a Christian, but I started talking to him about, are you retired? And I'm retired from Ford Motor Company. And but he said, I hurt my back when I was 40-some years old. So I sat here in a matter of 3 minutes this morning before the service started. I knew a lot about Dana's father sitting right here and his back injury and all that went on and why he retired from Ford and why he retired so young. And he'd rather be working. It opened up a whole conversation, really. So you talk about O is the occupation side of it, or what do you do for a living, what do you do for a career, and if that doesn't work, then I go to the R. The R to me is recreational. Most people like to have fun in life. What do you do, and wherever that zeroes in, and it could be whatever along the way. So F-O-R always leads to the M, which is the message. Jesus started out talking about a relationship with a woman as she opened up to him and got in a dialogue. Where was he headed with this? Was the message, and the message was a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the time you've talked to a total stranger a little bit about something about their family or their occupation or their recreation, what they do for fun, you've warmed up enough to them, or they've warmed up enough to you, that it's then an opportunity for you to talk to them about the message. The message, as always, is before anybody will get saved, they've got to get lost. They've got to get to the point where they recognize their sin. Jesus got this woman to confess that she was lost in need of a Savior and got her to, and pointed out to her. He didn't have to point it out to her. She pointed out, and the truth of the matter is, oh, that's true, I don't. And so he got her to the point where all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus majored on the major, minored on the minor. Now, what if he'd have taken a different approach? What if he attacked this woman and talked about, you know, you shouldn't be living in sin. You shouldn't be living a lifestyle. No, he didn't go down that road. He didn't go down the road of accusation. He didn't go down the road of pointing fingers. He went down the road of allowing this woman to be able to see that she needed the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the only truth you have to embrace in the be in heaven. And so Jesus here illustrates in John 4 his encounter with this woman at the well. So go back to verse 15. Did you notice in verse 15 that in verse 15, Jesus found out about her moral condition? By that meaning, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Well, she was inquisitive. She was asking about, you know, the right thing. She wanted water. She's going to this well and drawing water at high noon every day, and it's hot. She wanted to be able to not have to do that or have access to easy water. So she's looking for something different. But here, Jesus already knew about her moral condition. But here's the important part is he got her to be able to admit to what her moral condition was. Turned out that she'd been married 5 times. Turned out she was not living, or she was living with a man who was not her own husband. So I find it interesting in the scripture here, if you talk about witnessing, you talk about sharing the gospel, that Jesus here didn't give a lecture on sexual abstinence. Didn't do that. He didn't, you know, when you go out there in the world, Jesus was always encountering people in the world. You and I are going to run into people in all walks of life that are run into all kinds of issues. They have all kinds of problems. They have all kinds of things. The important is focus on the majors. Don't focus on the minors. And keep the main thing the main thing. So Jesus didn't give this woman a lecture on sexual abstinence. He did not say to her, you know what, woman, you need to clean up your life first. No, he didn't say that. And she quickly understood the situation was she in. You know what she really, I think what she tried to do here, she tried to distract the Lord Jesus. Jesus' focus was on her personal life by engaging him in a theological question. And it says in verse 16, Jesus saying to her, go call your husband and then come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Verse 17, Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, you need to be really careful, because as you engage lost people, they will try to lead you down a secondary path. They will try to lead you into conversations about other things. And then it goes on, our fathers worshiped this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And then Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, and when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So Jesus was on a different path than she was on. And Jesus said the real issue here, which is really the most important thing to the woman at the well, is your relationship to God, your relationship to the Lord Jesus. And that she had no relationship. The Bible, it's interesting here, if you're genuinely trying to influence somebody to be a Christian, don't get involved in the side issues. If you're genuinely trying to lead a person to eternal life, no matter what they throw at you, no matter what they say, no matter what the how the conversation, and that you got to keep the main thing, and you come right back to the plan of salvation. Listen to what they say, respect what they say, and that, but you got to come right back to the point. Until they get to the point where they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, you're wasting your time. I've had everything from A to Z. They'll throw things on prophecy to you. They'll throw things at you about creation to you. They'll throw things about whatever, some religious thing or whatever, but you got to get back and you got to get to the point where you know and understand where they're at in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what he did here. And so the real issue here is the person's relationship with God. So don't expect unbelievers to embrace spiritual truth until they have, first of all, embraced the one who is the author of all truth. and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't expect them to understand. The Bible simply teaches you and I that the unsaved, the unbeliever, they are blinded. Their eyes they do not see. Their heart is not yet open until they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they trust Him and ask forgiveness of their sin and believe in Him for eternal life, and the Holy Spirit comes into their heart, now they can see things different. So we find here, learn to distinguish between the major and the minor, and Jesus was the master at doing that. So to influence people in our culture today, we have to reflect the love of Christ. Now think about that. Samaritans were looked down upon. Here's a Jewish man passing through Samaria, get to Jacob's well. A lot of people would not have approached the Samaritan woman, but Jesus did. No matter who you and I are, you know, it's very interesting to me. When you and I walk out those doors, we live right here in Canton, Michigan, in a very diverse culture from people all around the world and people that have different backgrounds and different things that you and I need to be open-minded to that we don't know. And so until we find out what the relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. So when you think about a debater's goal is always to win the debate. A disciple's goal is to always win the other person and to be able to bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so too many people, I think, get turned off to the gospel not because of the offense of the cross, but because of the offensiveness of other Christians or how you approach them or what you say to them or how you engage them. And so Jesus, I think here had this engaging conversation here was very interesting in how he handled this. Notice that after the Samaritan woman had the encounter with Christ, John chapter 4 and verse 29 simply tells us she ran to the city here, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ. Now, I want you to think about tonight, you know, what happened the day. Remember back the day you got saved, the time you come to Christ. And that if you came, whenever you came to Christ, after that, who did you go tell? Who did you go share the gospel with? Who do you know? You should be able to go and share that with your family members, your friends. I know for me, in my case, I was in high school at the time, so I began to share it with those in high school, which you're going to get all kinds of ridicule. You're going to get all kinds of pushback. You're going to get all kinds of interesting things along the way. But I began to see one after one, come to Christ, come to salvation. And once they opened up, I really believe you can take a new convert, somebody that's just recently been saved, and they can begin immediately winning other people to Christ along the way. So it's interesting here. She did not go into the city and say, come, listen to a set of new ideas that changed my mind. No, she said, come and meet a man who has changed my life. If you in your life, if the Lord Jesus Christ has come into your heart, He's changed your life, and that relationship you have with Him, you'll never get over it. No matter where you go, you're going to want to share that gospel with whoever you can. And because you have a relationship with Him, you're willing to go and come, just like she said, come see a man. And this man changed her life. You know, it's interesting here when you think about some of the thoughts in this. Meeting Jesus will absolutely change our life. Our goal is not to win people to a set of beliefs, but our goal is to win people to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you never know. I think along the way, different ones I've had an opportunity to win to Christ. I remember when I first arrived in South Dakota and the church. I was a young 25-year-old pastor at the time. There was a lady coming to our church. Her name was Hazel Warner. And Hazel had six children, and they were still in high school, and so when we got there, I started asking Hazel, I didn't know. I mean, are you married? Do you have a husband? Yeah, Dick is my husband, but he won't come to church. So I had, as a young new pastor in town, I had them warn me. They said, I don't know if I were you. I don't know if I'd go to Brandon and talk to Dick Warner. And he's about one of the roughest, meanest, orneriest guys around Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so I asked Hazel, I said, is it all right if I come out to your house and talk to Dick? And she said, sure. She goes, if he'll talk to you. And so I thought to myself, I went by myself. I went out to Brandon, which is just right outside of Sioux Falls, and they let me come in. There's Dick sitting on the couch, and And he was one of those rough old South Dakota cowboy guys. Always had cowboy boots on. And that I sat and talked to him. And at first, he was, I think, checking me out or whatever. But sat and talked to him. I had a chance to lead that man to Christ when I found out. When you got past the rough exterior, that inside of that was a warm, soft heart that needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And that man opened his heart and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. I baptized him and then saw his children, his family serve the Lord. Some of them went off to Bible college and that. So soul winning can be some of the greatest experience until a man meets the Lord Jesus Christ, till a woman like the Samaritan woman meets the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll change your life forever. I remember knocking on a door one day, and I had a little bit of time. I knocked on a door, and this man came to the door. His name was Barry Garisher. Barry was in Sioux Falls. He was the Army recruiter for South Dakota in Sioux Falls, and he ran the recruiting office. He was a captain in the United States Army. So I just knocked on his door. Barry came to the door, had his Army uniform on, had all these things all over his left side of his Army outfit or whatever. And I told him, I'm just the pastor here at the church at Eastside, just going down the street here and just stopped to say hi and didn't know if you and your family went to church and just wondered today if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ, if you died today, if you'd go to heaven. And Barry got all choked up. He had come home for lunch. I just happened to knock on the door at lunchtime. And he got all choked up. He said, "You got a minute?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, I shouldn't be here." I said, "What do you mean you shouldn't be here?" He said, "I shouldn't be alive right now." He said, "I should not be." Barry was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam flying missions and got hit by a SAM missile that hit his chopper. He was flying the left seat. A buddy of his was hitting the right seat, took heavy fire, killed the buddy in the right seat, splattered things all over the interior of that, and the engine smoking, things are going down. He was able to squeeze that thing and get it back to base and set it down, and he burst out crying. He said, "I should not be alive. I should not be here." And I said, "But Barry, you are here, and I ask you again, if you died today, you know you go to heaven?" He said, "No, I don't know that." And I had a chance to then share the Bible, what it talks about in the Lord Jesus Christ, and coming to know him as his personal Lord and Savior. That day, about 1 o'clock in the middle of the day, Barry and I got on our knees at a couch, and that man prayed, weeping with tears in his eyes, and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save his lost soul. Got up, and we led his wife to Christ, his two children to Christ, and then saw all four of them get baptized. And he's another one that said, "I should not be here," and it changed his life and the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our goal is to win people to Christ, no matter where we go, what we do. The way we do that is by reflecting the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ will break down all the exterior walls that you can get past. Here, Jesus got past the walls of this Samaritan woman that reached into her heart. And then she said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" So the more we know and reflect the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more likely we are to influence them to embrace the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I simply would say to you tonight, out of John chapter 4, Jesus taught this principle: major on the majors, don't major on the minors. You're going to run into people out here that need the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be in all kinds of crazy situations and sinful backgrounds and things along the way. And always keep in mind that Jesus went right to the heart of the matter and focused on until they get that right, until they understand that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You and I got to lead them wherever they are to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they meet him and have a relationship with him, like this Samaritan woman did, it will change their life forever. Until then, they remain in their sin. Until then, we find that life takes on a different look. And so the Samaritans here find it interesting. Jesus could have gone down through the Jordan Valley, but he chose to go through Samaria. And there God used him, or that he was used in a tremendous way to be able to bring this Samaritan woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's right. Go call your husband. No, I don't have a husband. No, you've got five husbands. And so until a person gets to the point they recognize their sin nature, and what they need to do to repent of their sin, they'll never come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You've got to lead them to the where they're lost, and then they need Christ as their Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for John chapter 4. We thank you for the master soul winner himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great example he gives in the scripture in showing us how that he encountered people along the way, total strangers in life, and that how he encountered that and kept the main thing, the main focus, and being able to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we go through the journey of life, we're going to run into all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds that have all kinds of sinful and wicked and evil issues going on out there. So, God, help us to share the love of Christ. Help us to be faithful in our witness and testimony wherever we go. Help us to be able to lead others to come to know you as your own, as their own personal Lord and Savior. God, we thank you for the relationship that we can have with the Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, and thank you for the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.